This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
The great guacamole war of 2025, the great guacamole crisis is over as Mexico says to President Trump, please don't impose tariffs and we'll give you 10,000 troops to the border. Done. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. Hope you had a great weekend on X at Rich Zeoli. By the way, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Border Czar Tom Homan are both speaking from the border right now in El Paso, Texas. Border crossings are at a historic low at the moment. But let's talk about some of the greatest moments of media hysteria from over the weekend. Joining us now, Bill Agostino, Senior Research Analyst at the Media Research Center. Follow Bill on X at @band_Bill. What's up, my man? How you doing today?
Doing all right. Good to see you, Rich.
Doing all right. Excellent. Great. Good to have you with us. I'm glad you're here. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot to talk about. And I'm hearing a little bit of an echo, but I'm sure we can fix that in just a moment. We got back. That sounded better, though, actually. Say something again.
Yeah. You got me now?
I got you now. It's a little bit of an echo. All right. You know what? We might have to do this over the phone, guys. We're getting that echo thing again. So let's just call Bill, and we'll figure this out. We're trying this. This program stinks, but just let me know when you have him, Justin, and we'll put him up, and then... You know, we gotta get rid of this stupid VMix, Matt. You know what I mean? It doesn't work.
No,
it just doesn't work. Terrible.
We're slowly migrating.
I was on Jesse Waters' show Friday night, and we did it. I don't know if I mentioned I was on Jesse Waters' show Friday night on Fox News. We did it on Stage Door, and it worked fine. Can't we get rid of VMix? It doesn't work.
I don't know enough about the setup. I asked engineering about a million times if we could transition everything over to Zoom.
But Greg said they use Zoom on the morning show. Why can't we just use Zoom?
Well, we can use Zoom. The issue, I think, that's different for us than the morning show is, since you're not in studio, we need two different connection methods.
Oh, you're taking a shot at me.
We don't have a way of...
No,
I'm not in the studio either, so who am I to talk? As of right now, we can't host two Zoom meetings simultaneously. That's my understanding. But again, I am the wrong person to talk about video.
But wouldn't Bill become just a guest of my Zoom meeting?
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
I think at that point there becomes audio complications. There are audio complications. But
how
again,
could it be any worse than the audio complications we have right now with the stupid setup that we're using on VMix?
You don't like the echo? You don't find it charming?
Painful. By the way, the president is welcoming the Florida Panthers to the White House right now, and he may take some questions from the press. I'm not sure. If he does, we'll try to jump in. Is Bill back? Working on it.
Hang on. We're trying to get him now.
All right, no problem. In the meantime, USAID, United States Agency for International Development, is a scam. It is a CIA front. There's no doubt in my mind about that, that it is completely irresponsible for anybody to think that USAID is actually about giving charity to the world. But that's the way the left is melting down about it. The other thing is that Trump has spoken to Justin Trudeau. He was asked in the Oval Office today, what would it take for you to make Canada, for you to get rid of the tariffs on Canada? You know what his reply was? Canada has to become the 51st state. Now, obviously, that may not happen, and we may not want it to happen, but here's exactly what Canada will do. This is going to be my prediction. Remember on Friday, I predicted to you exactly what the Mexican president would do? Would send troops to the border to help close the border, fight the cartels, fight the war on drugs. Remember I said all that? And it's exactly how it played out, thus ending the great guacamole nightmare of 2025. Canada's going to turn around and say American banks can do business in Canada, and all the tariffs that Canada imposes on American products will go away. And we will have an absolute level playing field. We'll have an absolute level playing field. So that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. You mark my words. And Canada will capitulate, and they will turn around, and they will say, yeah, let's do this. That's my prediction. All right, let me welcome back to the show Bill Agostino. Bill, sorry about the technical difficulties we're experiencing today. How you doing, my friend?
It's all good, man. No worries. We have a studio tech who's ready to pull his hair out half the time, too, with some of this technology, so no worries.
I understand. So let's talk about the media hysteria from over the weekend. First of all, give us an overview of the Media Research Center and what you guys do over there and what you guys do at Newsbusters to give us what you do to keep track of the liberal corporate mainstream media.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we were founded in 1987. So before even like Fox News existed, there wasn't really such thing as an alternative to corporate media. I mean, there was talk radio, but that was basically it. And so the idea was to expose basically every instance of bias and catalog it. And eventually it evolved into doing studies on the way media coverage works. And that's a large part of what my job is now. So I'll spend a lot of time pouring through broadcast network transcripts and, filling out spreadsheets basically and taking down how much time they spend on this topic versus that topic, what kind of labeling they use, what sort of issues they're not covering, bias by omission, which is a big one, which I think we talked about last week. But yeah, that's the long and short of it. It's weird because a lot of people, I think, assume that that we spend all of our time basically watching TV, but the amount of live, say like CNN or ABC or whatever, that I actually watch is pretty minimal. It's all basically transcripts and Snapstream recordings.
Okay. As you analyze all this stuff, how do you not pull your hair out and drive yourself insane? That's the first question I have for you.
Well, they give us hazard pay. At least the guy who has to watch Joy Reid gets hazard pay. So,
you share this with all of the people at Gitmo, right? So all the illegal immigrants that'll be going down there, they're going to have to watch this, and maybe they can help you guys analyze some of the greatest media hysteria moments. That could be good.
Yeah, as long as they speak English. Although I don't know how much that would help them with how hard it is to decipher some of the hosts on that network. But yeah, you kind of get numb to it after a while. I was a Senate intern for a bit right around the beginning of the Trump transition, the first Trump transition. And I spent most of my time handling phone calls from really angry Democrats who were basically just calling to yell about Trump, not to criticize the senator. So I developed a bit of a thick skin to hearing people berate me with opinions that I disagreed with, but couldn't argue against.
All right, I'm going to play some clips for you, and I'd love to get your reaction to them, Bill Agostino.
Sure.
So first of all, the real thing over the weekend was the crisis about USAID, the tariffs, the great guacamole war, the fact that we may not have Corona at our Super Bowl parties, all these things that the media was melting out down about over the weekend. Here's Margaret Brennan from CBS News fretting the demolition of USAID. And I tell you what, I mean, I don't think 5 minutes minutes ago she even knew what the hell USAID stood for. But now apparently it's the greatest nightmare ever. Representative Brian Mast did a great job talking about the grift at all these various agencies. Cut number 12. Mm-hmm.
But what we're hearing from many of these aid organizations and officials is that can you restructure after you finish the review and not freeze funding now immediately? I spoke to former USAID global health head Atul Gawande yesterday. He told me this isn't a pause in foreign aid. It is a demolition of USAID. As he put it, you can't pause a flight in midair. That's what's happening. This immediate freeze in funding is stopping agencies in the field from being able to do the work they do.
Let's say why that is so important. And let's talk about the real facts on the ground. The Trump administration comes in, or representatives like myself that do oversight, the agencies will literally not tell us what they are writing grants for, literally. Or they will lie about it, or they will tell the new political appointees under the Trump administration, I'm just not going to tell you that. Those are real things that have happened. So the way that you make them come and answer for where they are actually sending dollars is to say, we're freezing that, we're putting it on hold. You need to come to us and explain what it is you're doing, why you're doing it, and where it's actually saving life. And guess what? When they don't come explain something, that also begs the question, why were they doing it in the first place?
Now, how do you think CBS is trying to play this from your perch over there analyzing this, Bill Agostino, for the Media Research Center?
I mean, it's always with vagaries, and that's partially because I think that the hosts and the staff don't really know all of the details, and also because if they knew any of the nitty-gritty details, they would know well enough that their audience wouldn't like what they would be hearing if it was explained to them exactly where most of the USAID money goes. We have data that suggests that only like 10% of the money that's given to a lot of these NGOs actually goes where it's supposed to end up. A lot of it gets wasted, a lot of it gets pocketed, and a lot of it gets spent on things that weren't actually the line items that the money was given for. It's also worth noting that USAID is basically funding our border invasion in a lot of ways. A lot of the money
really?
That pours into these, and yeah, a lot of the money that pours into these NGOs that are organizing all of these border caravans and whatever else, the people who are basically helping illegal aliens get to the border, a lot of that is through NGOs that are funded by USAID. So it's a little ridiculous to see anybody so staunchly defending it when they don't even know the details of it. But I suspect that if Margaret Brennan knew all the details of it, she'd probably support it even more, because she, along with basically everybody else in the corporate media, seems to be staunchly pro-open borders. And I don't really know when that happened in the media,
right.
But I think that it's the single policy issue that they are the furthest to the left of the general populace on.
David Brooks, I think, is we would classify him as a neocon warmonger. At least that's how I've always viewed David Brooks. He's always been a never-Trumper, serious anti-Trump. I think there's an old saying in life, Bill, which is that you can judge somebody by the character of their enemies. So if David Brooks is against somebody, I tend to like that person. That's kind of, if John Bolton's against that person, I kind of like that person, you know?
Right, yeah. David Brooks is sort of like the Jim Cramer of foreign policy, right? There's this joke in finance that whenever Jim Cramer endorses a stock, it's basically due to tank in like 3 hours. That's basically how that works with foreign policy. If David Brooks supports somebody, you should probably stay away.
So from PBS NewsHour, which I hope is eliminated very, very soon, when we cut the funding to PBS and NPR, New York Times columnist David Brooks and Washington Post associate editor Jonathan Capehart joined Amna Nawaz to discuss the week in politics, including the confusing policy rollouts, contentious confirmation hearings, and new tariffs. But particularly now, he doesn't like Tulsi Gabbard. Cut 22.
Look at this and you hear some of those concerns. Do you think these senators still back these nominees despite those concerns?
Yeah, what I heard in these two cases in particular was Republican senators saying to the nominees, that crazy thing you believe, you don't really believe that, right? Would you please just make it easier for me to vote for you by telling me you don't really believe that? And in both cases, the nominees said, I'm not going to tell you I believe it, but I'm not going to tell you I don't believe it. And so they didn't make it very easy on these Republican senators. I actually think Tulsi Gabbard's in a little harder place because there's a much broader phalanx of Republicans who are skeptical about her. Second, the Intelligence Committee is a serious committee. That's a committee that usually meets in private. Mm-hmm. So it's not usually a committee filled with histrionic behavior. It's filled with reasonable behavior.
Your thoughts on David Brooks?
I just want to point out the comedy of what his role there is. David Brooks is the token Republican on the panel in that clip. And that's basically how PBS Washington Week goes these days. And basically anything that either Capehart, who was the guest in that case, or Amna Nawaz, who was hosting, I believe, in that clip, everything is basically further to the left than MSNBC. A lot of people assume that because PBS gets public money and it's boring, that means that it must be somehow down the middle. It's not, though. It's definitely to the left of CNN. I'd say it's basically MSNBC. So what Brooks is doing there is he's playing the role of the token Republican perfectly.
Right.
He's saying, basically he's giving them the talking point of, and this is coming from a Republican, guys, while agreeing with everything that the Democrats on the panel say. Right. He's not criticizing any Democrat senators. He's criticizing his own party, ostensibly his own party. I suspect that David Brooks hasn't voted Republican in at least a decade, if not more. It's the same song and dance every single time. MSNBC used to do this a lot. They had a whole show about it. Well, they still do, Deadline White House with Nicole Wallace. But the jig is kind of up on that show. I think that nobody is even pretending to be a Republican on that show anymore. But PBS is still chugging along with David Brooks pretending.
Now, these quote-unquote Republicans who they bring on these shows, like, you know who is a great example of what you're just saying, Bill, is Michael Steele, right? At one point, he was the chairman of the Republican National Committee. His entire shtick now is just whatever Trump is for, he's against it. Whatever Trump is against, he's for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Michael Steele, routine morning Joe guest, right? I mean, that's basically all you need to know about how serious somebody is and how valid their political opinions are, how often they appear on Morning Joe. And he's there like every freaking morning. He's practically there more than Mike Barnicle and Willie Geist at this point. So, yeah, no, he is. Michael Steele is basically the epitome of what we were just talking about. And there's so many of them. They're crawling out of the woodwork because it pays, right? There is so much money in playing turncoat for the Democrats and basically flipping on the Republican Party now that Trump is in favor of this. You oppose this, even though we can find your tweets from like, 6-7 years ago where you were supporting that thing too until Trump did. It's nauseating. It's ridiculous that they think that it still works because I don't think it convinces anybody, but it's a pretty successful grift, at least for the people doing it.
Yeah, and these are people, some of these people too, Bill, they were the war criminals, right? I mean, John right. Brennan, John Bolton, these were the very same people that caused the torture, the war in Iraq. I mean, these were some of the most, Dick Cheney, I mean, these were some of the most hated people. The minute that Trump came along, these are now the good old days of the Republican Party, back when we used to just invade countries that didn't do anything to us. So we miss those good old days when the Republican Party meant something.
Yeah, back in the days of respectability, when Republicans were serious and genuine, while invading countries constantly. Yeah, no, it was kind of the death.
Or it's
of
like,
the
we
tanky.
Missed the good old days of waterboarding when the Republican when these guys would advocate for waterboarding people. I mean, come on, can we just get back to that, Republicans?
Exactly. It sounds absurd, but that's basically actually what they're saying if you read between the lines. And this was basically the death of the tanky when Trump ascended to power in 2016, 2017. There's no more anti-war peaceniks on the left anymore, right? They're basically gone because they've all been instructed, you can't support any of these things that Trump is doing. And so therefore, now they're all pro deep state, right? They all love the FBI. They love the CIA. Mm-hmm. They love every foreign war that they're told to love. It's ridiculous. It's a little depressing, frankly. I expected a large faction of the left to at least hold out and stick to some of their principles on this, but it turns out that there weren't really any principles to begin with. And maybe they were just anti-war because Bush was the president. Who knows?
Well, that's a great point. It'd just be the opposite in a big way. And then when the Republicans are opposite Trump, then they get a seat at the table. And I have to wonder, Bill, how many of these people think that they've made it when they get a seat on CNN or MSNBC, even though there's dozens of people watching. I mean, do they not see the numbers anymore of the declining viewership of these big media outlets?
Well, for them, the viewership is their employer's problem, right? Yeah. I mean, as long as the gravy train keeps coming, as long as the money keeps flowing, you know, I mean, Caitlin Collins, for example, is she thrilled that she has her own show on CNN? Absolutely. And I don't think that she cares too much about the ratings. I think she cares about the anchor salary and the fact that she can say she has her own show on CNN. I think it's really that simple. And she used to work at the Daily Caller, right? I mean, what a transition that is, Daily Caller to CNN.
Daily Caller to CNN is a huge transition. I remember when Caitlin Collins was actually for part of Fox News, too. Do you remember that? Many, many years ago. And she used to ask tough questions on the border.
Yeah, feels like a lifetime ago. It's absurd. And Alyssa Farah Griffin, too, worked in the Trump administration and then went immediately from that to being the token Republican on The View, who, just like Michael Steel, just like David Brooks, agrees with basically everything the panel is saying 99% of the time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, listen, thanks, my friend. Hopefully we can do this again next week. We'll fix all the audio issues and we'll have you back on the show. But in the meantime, keep up the great work over at Newsbusters and the Media Research Center. We appreciate you guys calling out the lefty corporate mainstream media. Bill DiAgostino, senior research analyst at the Media Research Center. Follow him on X at Band Bill. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. Good to see you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants, the master of giving you the beautiful smile. I know you're happy that you're going to be able to have guacamole and Corona at your Super Bowl party. Thank God. We were all terrified about that. Well, show off your smile and your guacamole-stained teeth by getting a beautiful smile from Dr. Mike Veneria. If you have any stains, he can clean those for you. He's a great guy. He's a great dentist. He's my dentist, and he's the master of dental implants, the master of making you look and feel your absolute best. That's what he's been doing for over 10 years, for 10 consecutive years. That's what Dr. Mike is known for. And that's why the whole Zeoli family goes to him. My wife goes to him, Reagan, Patrick, Claire, Bridget, and of course, Mama Zeoli discovered Dr. Mike for us. He has two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, both right over the bridge, easy to get to from wherever you are. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Dr. Mike today. Just go to VenariaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. And trust me, everybody in the office is dedicated to your smile, your comfort. There's great music playing in the office. Great people there for you every step of the way. So it's so much to smile about. There's never been a better time to get that beautiful smile. Schedule your free implant consultation today at VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, it's a busy one today. Every day is busy, though. This is the new world. It's Trump time. That's what happens. We just get loaded up, and it's very, very possible we're maybe going to something during the show today. It just seems to be the way it is when Trump's president in afternoon drive. Everything happens. We're okay with it. We like it. We like rolling with it. You know, part of USAID, by the way, is Wuhan and COVID and China and the undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. Yes, it's true. And we're going to talk to our friends at the White Coat Waste Project about that. But before I do, I want to go back in time a little bit for you and just kind of refresh your memory about what I'm talking about, because this is a huge story today. And it's a huge, huge story about USAID. And what's happening? It's the second biggest story besides the tariffs and the third biggest story behind the New Jersey Democrat governor, King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, who is hiding an illegal immigrant probably under his own hair, which I will talk to you about as the show goes on today. But if you think about it, everything regarding USAID, United States Agency for International Development, was actually something that we all knew was happening under our very, very eyes. Here's a flashback. The administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development, Samantha Power. This is an Obama person, Samantha Power, incredibly powerful, testified before the Senate on April 26th of 2023. And Senator Rand Paul asking Samantha Power, did USAID fund coronavirus research in Wuhan, China, cut 30.
The thing is what we get from you and from the State Department at large is that if Senator Menendez signs it, you'll give it documents. Until then, you'll give us nothing. And we have gotten nothing, zero. You said we'll not be providing any documents. I now have 25 senators have sent you a letter, and you aren't responding. And we want to see the scientific grants. We give you the money. The taxpayers give you the money. We deserve to know where the money went, whether it happened. Look, you're right. It ended in 2019. When did the virus come about? In about 2019. Some of the research proposals that came about in 2018 were Wuhan Institute of Virology asking for money to create a virus with a furin cleavage site in it, a coronavirus, a SARS-like virus with a furin cleavage site. That's exactly what COVID turned out to be. They wanted money to create such a virus. So we want to know, are there other research proposals that you either granted or denied that were on the same veins of creating viruses that could have become COVID-19? We can't tell because you won't give us information.
Again, we consistent with longstanding practice, we are providing extensive documentation. We have a whole
That's
team
just
of people
not
who do
true.
Nothing other
That's
than look back and
true.
Predict.
That is not
it
true.
It is factually accurate.
That is
it
not
is.
True. Everything we have asked, we have not gotten. I have not seen one document on the PREDICT program.
I understand that, again, consistent with common practice.
Consistent that you're not going to give it to any senator.
No. We're back. Providing all of the kinds of documentation that you're
You
describing.
Are not. You're
we
being
are.
Dishonest.
We,
you're being
no,
dishonest.
I'm not. I'm
we haven't gotten
not.
One scrap of paper from you.
Now, the United States Agency for International Development has had their hands in the cookie jar for a very, very long time. And what our friends at the White Coat Waste Project have exposed for us is, yes, the undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli was actually something that was funded very, very much with our own taxpayer dollars. And they got a lot of shout outs today on social media because as more and more people were learning about USAID for the first time, many people said, hey, you know what? Justin Goodman over at the White Coat Waste Project, for example, has been pointing this out. And it's not just simply a matter of United States dollars going to all of these experiments. It's United States dollars going to fund other third party groups that then go and give these experiments. So here to talk about it with us is Justin Goodman from the White Coat Waste Project. Follow him on X at White Coat Waste Project and Justin R. Goodman. Justin, great to see you here in Philadelphia, my friend. How are you?
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. Go Eagles.
Go Birds, baby. That's right. Now, are you rooting for them because they are? We have an animal as a mascot?
Yeah. My wife's family, her entire family is from the Lehigh Valley. So I'm a default, de facto Eagles fan at this time of year.
All right. That's good. That works for us. I like it. Great job with all the work you guys do over at the White Coat Waste Project. And just for people that don't know, give us an overview of the work that you do.
Sure. We are a government watchdog group specifically concerned with following the money, $20 billion a year that the government wastes on cruel, unnecessary, and as we've seen in the case of the Wuhan lab, dangerous and deadly experiments on animals around the world. And we're perhaps, we work on all kinds of issues, but we're perhaps best known for at this point for exposing Fauci's funding of the Wuhan lab, as we'll talk about today, USAID funding as well, and also exposing Fauci's Beagle testing and leading campaigns, grassroots campaigns, lobbying to cut the funding for these and other programs.
Now, in terms of this USAID, which is making all the news today because it's something that Elon Musk and Doge have identified, the United States Agency for International Development, it sounds great, right? I mean, it really does. It sounds great. But what have they done? What role have they played in all of this with Wuhan, with COVID, with other viruses, with other experiments against animals?
Yeah, so we exposed a few years ago, we actually got documents through a lawsuit against the federal government that USAID gave funding to the U.S. nonprofit EcoHealth Alliance, the quote unquote conservation biodiversity furry nonprofit, to send to the Wuhan lab specifically for gain-of-function experiments to take these wild coronaviruses and supercharge them and make them more infectious and more deadly and more contagious to human beings. And we have the receipts showing not only that, not only do we have the records showing that USAID sent our money to the Wuhan lab through EcoHealth specifically for this project, but the guy, Ben Hu, the Wuhan lab animal experimenter, who has been identified as a potential patient zero for COVID-19, Wall Street Journal covered this a couple of years ago, our records specifically show that USAID was funding Ben Hu, patient zero, specifically to do these animal experiments where he was taking back coronaviruses, putting them into humanized mice to make them more dangerous to humans. So there is a paper trail. If you follow the money, it takes you from USAID to EcoHealth to patient zero at the Wuhan laboratory.
That's amazing. I mean, that is really remarkable stuff here, Justin. To patient zero in Wuhan from USAID, just so everybody understands that, from the United States Agency for International Development to patient zero at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I mean, that's remarkable stuff here.
Yeah, and that's the document that kind of went viral today that Elon Musk shared. We have a profile page where Ben Hu was telling the U.S. government who he was receiving funding from, and it was Fauci's division of NIH, USAID, and the Chinese Communist Party. Surprise, surprise. And this is the guy who experts believe was one of the first people infected with COVID-19. And to the insult to the literal injury to the millions of people who were sickened and killed by COVID-19, USAID continued, despite what happened in Wuhan in 2019, USAID continued to fund EcoHealth's virus hunting and animal experimentation around the world until just a few months ago, literally a few weeks before they were officially suspended from federal funding. Between March 2020, when a pandemic was declared, and May of last year, USAID gave EcoHealth Alliance another $18 million for this type of work around the world, and gave them a brand new $4 million payout just weeks before the CEO of the company testified and was later suspended from receiving federal funding for violating federal policies and letting what happened in Wuhan go down. So if that gives you any indication about the level of accountability and oversight there is of spending at USAID, I mean, that's kind of the poster child for waste, fraud, and abuse from the government, is causing a pandemic and then continue to fund the organization that did it and without consequences. Fortunately, you know, Congress and finally took action. But there's a long history of organizations like USAID, like the Smithsonian, basically being pass-throughs for bioweapons programs where they, under the guise of conservation or scientific exploration, or even humanitarian efforts, they send scientists around the world to collect viruses from remote areas and then see if they can weaponize them. That's been going on since the 50s.
You're trying to understand the bigger picture here of what the United States Agency for International Development might want to achieve here. It's terrifying to think that our taxpayer dollars would go towards these animal experiments and virus creation in a country like China and other countries around the world. And then we have this global pandemic, and clearly none of this is in the United States' best interest. So when you hear President Trump, for example, today say there are radical lunatics at USAID, there are people who thought this was a good idea. And in my mind, these people are sick and twisted and demented to think that this was a good idea to do this. And look at the consequences of their actions. I mean, a global pandemic, because somebody thought it was a good idea to get behind this. And now I have to wonder, that story about the CIA trying to downplay the COVID lab leak theory, which was one of those stories that came out and everybody kind of dismissed, but kind of makes sense, right? I mean, if our country has been engaged in this, helping to create these bioweapons, then and USAID is an extension of the CIA and the deep state and everything else, you could understand why they'd want to downplay the idea that COVID came from a laboratory.
Absolutely. I mean, USAID is the perfect vehicle through which to do something like that. You know, until recently they had, you know, I mean, people on both ends of the political spectrum, you know, progressives and people on the right have been skeptical of USAID for a long time for, you know, funding coups and other things. In addition to bioweapons development, they've been concerned with what USAID was up to. But in terms of their public image amongst most people, you know, they're trying to feed hungry people and do, you know, development projects around the world and help bring people up. So it's the perfect vehicle through which to funnel money for bioweapons development. And without, you know, raising eyebrows until, you know, we got the receipts and Rand Paul started asking questions. And as we saw in the clip, the head of USAID just basically had no answers for what they funded, what records they have, what actually went down in Wuhan. Because, I mean, who wants to admit that they funded the creation of a virus that killed millions of people, including a million Americans? I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get anyone to admit that. And it's telling that the CIA, it took, you know, the Trump coming into power for the CIA and John Ratcliffe to finally admit that the lab leak in Wuhan probably caused COVID. I mean, you know, you and I have been talking about this since 2020. The FBI admitted this years ago. Department of Energy admitted this years ago. 7 out of 10 Americans across the political spectrum now believe a lab leak caused COVID. But the CIA, if they're working with USAID, they don't want to admit that. So it makes sense. It's rational for them to want to keep their head down and say, we're not really sure what happened. But we, you know, we have the receipts now that, you know, USAID was out there sending money to Wuhan, specifically to the guy who was doing the experiments that we believe caused COVID.
And Justin Goodman, White Coat Waste Project, you have been coming on my show since 2020. We have been talking about this together for 5 years now. And I agree with you. I'm really happy that the new CIA director, John Ratcliffe, on day one acknowledged that, yeah, you know what? COVID came from the lab, because he knows the truth. And I noticed something else that happened very interesting this weekend. Elon Musk goes into USAID and basically cleans house and kicks everybody out. And one of the big complaints raised was, we can't get into our email. By the way, a lot of these files are classified and top secret. Why would an agency that's there to give grants out for the betterment of humankind have classified documents and top secret documents?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we're finally, you know, seeing the truth about what's happening. A lot of these agencies, I think we're going to see the same thing. You know, we're calling for an audit of NIAID, Anthony Fauci's division of the National Institutes of Health, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, because after 9/11, NIAID basically became a pass-through for the DOD for funding for bioweapons exploration and development, you know, funding organizations like EcoHealth to go around the world and collect viruses from remote places and weaponize them and then develop vaccines for them. Why would you do that? I mean, the chances of nature creating the same virus you create in the laboratory are astronomical. It's not going to happen. You're never going to artificially, preemptively create a virus that might pop up in nature and then magically have the cure for it. What you're doing is creating a new virus, potentially unleashing it onto the world and killing millions of people. And that's exactly what happened with COVID. But that's what's been happening in Fauci's division of NIH, too. Their budget ballooned by billions, literally billions of dollars since 9/11, specifically because they were the pass-through for this type of experimentation. So we're calling on DOGE and the new administration to audit NIAID, because there's a lot of skeletons in the closet there beyond just what happened in Wuhan.
I'm on your blog at blog.whitecoatwaste.org, and it's really fascinating stuff here, what you guys have uncovered. So, I mean, some of the money has gone to, and I'll just name some of the countries here. Laos, Guinea, Ghana, Tanzania, and the viruses they've been playing with, not just coronavirus, but Nipah, Crimean, Congo, hemorrhagic, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, fever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of bad stuff here. And you could, you know, if you go with this idea that a lot of this is our government, because bioweapons are illegal. You know, no country's supposed to, under treaties, create these things. So you find a back door to be able to do this. You find a back door to be able to weaponize these things, which, again, I mean, in 2019, when the Secretary of Energy of the United States was over in China and was pointing this out and raising red flags about this research and saying the Chinese military was involved here, this is the kind of stuff that if you went to a publisher and wrote this as a novel, they'd reject it because they'd say this is way too over the top and unrealistic.
Yeah, that's what happened. You know, it's funny. There's a series called Night Agent. I think it's on Netflix. My wife and I have been watching it. But there's a storyline on the new season where they have this mobile laboratory that's doing exactly what we're talking about. It's a mobile laboratory to create bioweapons and then create the cures in case we want to unleash them on someone and then have the cure so it doesn't kill us. That's literally what's happening in the federal government. And, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. That's just another example. And, you know, look at what's happening now. You know, okay, Wuhan happened. We cut off EcoHealth Alliance. We cut off the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Great. There's still 26 animal laboratories in China that are actively eligible to receive taxpayer money, including labs that are working with either controlled by the Chinese Communist Party or working with the People's Liberation Army, the Chinese military. You can go on the NIH website right now and see this list of 26 laboratories who are still being funded by the NIH, including labs that are run by the Wuhan Labs parent group, parent organization. So we haven't learned our lesson. We're still funding this dangerous animal experimentation in adversarial nations. And it's just an accident waiting to happen. So we're hoping that DOD, you know, this ends up on the chopping block quickly. Obviously, Elon's paying attention. President Trump cut the funding for the Wuhan lab just days after our investigation back in April 2020. And I think he probably wants to see this through and cut off the rest of the labs in China before we cause another pandemic.
And I think Senator Rand Paul, now that he's chairman of that committee, wants to see this through by having Fauci, who's been pardoned, so he can't hide behind the Fifth Amendment anymore. He wants to see this through by having Fauci answer for all of this and point fingers. And Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance and all these people need to be held accountable. One more thing I want to mention, too, is that I noticed during the confirmation hearing for Bobby Kennedy, one of the Democrats started yelling at him for putting out the propaganda that Lyme disease could be a bioweapon. You know, the first guy who actually proposed that is a Republican from New Jersey named Chris Smith, who's been looking into this for years and has been questioning this. And he's one of the most moderate, level-headed Republican congressmen I can think of. And this is not a conspiracy theory. Again, this is, there's a lot of evidence that we created Lyme disease. But, you know, the minute you start screaming conspiracy theory, which they've been doing for years with regards to COVID, with regards to the gain of function research, you understand that they're trying to do that to shut down the conversation because there's just so much money at stake here. There's so much money at stake. The big pharma, I mean, they're getting this on both ends, right? Here's the money to create Frankenstein's monster. Here's the money to go figure out how to stop Frankenstein's monster. Everybody wins, right? Except for humanity.
Yeah. And if you look at the history of Lyme and where, you know, where that all started, it's a place called the Rocky Mountain Lab in Montana, which still exists, run wholly now by Anthony Fauci's division of the NIH, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And that's where the government's most dangerous and deadly virus experimentation is happening. And right now, the same division of NIH is funding a project. We're trying to fight it and cut the funding for it, but they're trying to build a new bat lab in Colorado, at Colorado State University, and their plan is to import hundreds of bats from Asia to Colorado, put them in a new laboratory, and then do Ebola, Nipah, coronavirus, other virus experiments on them. And they're going to be bringing those bats to the Rocky Mountain Laboratory, the same place where Lyme is, some believe Lyme originated, and doing the same thing there, manipulating these viruses in a laboratory to see if we can make them more dangerous. So,
again, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's why we're, you know, that Bobby Kennedy, HHS nominee, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, NIH director nominee, Marty Makary, FDA nominee. All of these guys are people who've been outspoken critics of the NIH, outspoken critics of Fauci, outspoken critics of gain of function experimentation. So we're hoping that these people do get confirmed and can bring some sanity back to the federal government and ensure that taxpayers aren't funding their own demise by bankrolling this dangerous animal experimentation, both here and abroad, that can cause pandemics and kill millions of people. I mean, we've already seen it play out. It's just a matter of time before it happens again.
All right, last question for you. Have these people never watched a freaking movie? Because, I mean, from Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman years ago to Contagion, I mean, like these viruses get out of the lab. All you got to do is just watch Outbreak. Why does nobody have an imagination to think what could possibly go wrong here? I mean, I say it as a joke, but it's like you're going to bring freaking bats to a laboratory after what we just went through. And then I got to say, Jon Stewart deserves a medal for mocking the people that were critics of the idea idea that the virus came from a lab, but he talked about, you know, if there was an outbreak of chocolatey goodness in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where would you look? You know, I mean, come on here, learn our lesson, people. And then the last thing I have to say to you is, Night Agent, is it worth the watch? Because we need a new show.
Yeah, go for it. You'll enjoy it, especially it's eerily relevant.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Justin. It really does, man. It does. Well, I got to give you props, man. Great work. You know, when I saw this on Twitter and I sent Matt a note, I said, we got to get Justin on today. You have been one of the most available guests to us for the last 5 years. I'm so grateful for it. You've opened my eyes, the audience's eyes. I think you and the White Coat Waste Project have helped open the country's eyes. You've steered the conversation. You got labeled a lot of different things, but you know, you kept coming and you stayed consistent. So great work to you guys. Great work following the money. And I know there's more to come, more revelations to come. So I look forward to having you back on the show, my man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for your support, Rich.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And breaking news out of Canada, Justin Trudeau has just announced that the proposed tariffs will be paused for at least 30 days. Shocking. So there you go. The great guacamole scare of 2025 is on hold. The great maple syrup scare of 2025 also on hold. The great Canadian bacon fiasco on hold for now. The question is, will Mexico ultimately fold and give President Trump what he wants so that the tariffs don't come back into place? My prediction is yes. And we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. And by the way, King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness. And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Dr. Mike, we'll give you a great smile. But Phil Murphy is the one who needs to listen to him first. But let me just say to Justin and Matt, you guys, you did it. You did it. We did it.
Well, I don't deserve any credit. It was basically all Justin, Frank, and Kirk.
Well done, guys. Well done. Thank God. You. Finally.
I think we're going to go with how we did that with Justin. I think that's going to be our modus operandi moving forward for Zoom interviews.
What'd you give him? You gave him the same Zoom link from the meeting we're on?
Yeah. And then I just had you mute. I had Kirk mute, and then I just took the audio as I would for if I was on a separate Zoom call. Took a little finagling to get everything to sound right, but by the grace of God, we got it to work, and we got both things. Both of your cameras worked. He sounded good. He sounded great. The interview went well. So that's I'm just breathing the biggest sigh of relief right now.
And you know what? You look relieved on the Justin cam. You do. You look very relieved.
You don't know the half of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys getting it done. It's good. This is going to be great for the show. This is big. Next thing, a live studio audience. We'll make that happen next. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're not doing that. I'm only just kidding. Relax. Take a deep breath. Good. All right. Great. Excellent. Well done. Well, Kirk, thank you. Frank, thank you. DeSantis, I guess, in your own words, you did nothing. So
I did not. I don't deserve any praise.
Fair enough. At least you're honest.
Probably made
about
things
it.
Worse. Yeah.
At least you're honest. You're not high, you know. You're not trying to take credit for it.
Well, I don't know anything about video. I'll concede that point.
Ah, it's so nice when things finally go our way, huh? Oh, and Kirk has a picture for us to put on the screen of his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable. Kirk, do you want to put that up for us?
It's
this
up right
is good.
Now.
Is it up right now? All right, that's what she said. So here's the picture of Phil Murphy, if you can see. I know there's a little bit of a delay on when I'm looking at it, but if you see his hair and you're wondering where the illegal immigrant is hiding, can you see a shadow under his toupee right there? Do you see it? Tell me that's not a person under his rug right there on his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable. That's my tweet from earlier today. If anyone is wondering where King Governor Phil Murphy might be harboring the illegal immigrant, I would strongly suggest checking under the rug. Get it? The rug. See what I did there? We have the clip of Phil Murphy saying he's harboring an illegal immigrant. I don't know what number it is. What number is that? You got it, Kirk? Sure, you got it for us, right? Right? Yes. Where is it? Matt, help me out here. Where's the clip?
What Sorry, number? I'm trying to find it right now.
I know we got a lot of audio today.
It's cut 25, I think. Let me double. Yeah, it is 25.
All right, cut 25. Here's New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. Take a listen.
Governor of New Jersey practically daring the agency to come to his own home. Democratic Governor Phil Murphy declared on Saturday that he and the First Lady are allowing someone pursuing legal status to stay at their home. The governor a little vague on this, but the bold admission came at an event during a broader discussion about the policies of the new Trump administration. Here is the governor. Listen.
Tammy and I were talking about, I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's someone in our broader universe whose immigration status is not yet at the point that they are trying to get it to. And we said, you know what, let's have her live at our house above our garage. And good luck to the feds coming in to try to get her.
Wow. Good luck to the feds to try to get her. King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness, calling out the Trump administration. We'll talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.